Grumpy Old Geeks, a weekly talk show hosted by Brian Schulmeister and Jason DeFilippo, discussing the finer points of what went wrong on the internet and who's to blame.
Welcome to Grumpy Old Geeks number 127 for September 11th. Oh, such a happy day, 2015.
Oh yeah, September 11th. Yeah, so all the things that you're supposed to say about that here.
Yes, I'm Jason DeFilippo, and I'm here with my co-host.
I'm Brian Schulmeister.
There we go.
Sweating like hell.
Dude, I can't believe you still are dealing with that.
It's one of the, you know, few days that not having AC over by the beach sucks. So you've got a heart out. I'm sweating. Let's get moving.
Yeah, 3 weeks ago, you're like, oh, it's only three days a year.
And, you know, there's something to that global warming thing.
I think so.
I was making fun of Burning Man a little bit last week, and I had I have a large and diverse group of friends, some of whom call themselves burners, but yet they haven't gone for the past few years because they kind of agree with me. Anyway, they were giving me some crap about it, and then I stumbled across basically the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. It's a sandwich commercial for Quiznos, which basically just destroys Burning Man.
This is a pretty funny commercial. Quiznos is on a roll. Did you check out the Star Wars commercial they did as well?
I saw it after you put it in the show notes. I have not seen a commercial for Quiznos on TV in a very long time. I'm aware of the fact that they are around here. I've seen two or three Quiznos. It's just not a very, it's not as pervasive as your Subways or whatnot around here. And yeah, I haven't seen any of these commercials. They're great. They're hilarious. The Star Wars one's really funny. This one's really funny. I guess this follows under like the Weird Al Yankovic sort of thing where it's a parody, so they can do whatever they want. Star Wars characters, or I guess, this Burning Man one involves characters from The Maze Runner, which I've never even seen or heard of, but it doesn't matter because they just destroy Burning Man, so it's hilarious.
The funny thing about that is I've seen The Maze Runner. I thought it was a meh movie. It was the meh runner. But it reminded me more of Silicon Valley than it did of anything else.
Yeah, me too. I didn't even know it was had anything to do with the Maze Runner until I actually read the article that's about it. But if you have not seen this video, and I did, I noticed on Facebook that it's actually just starting to make the rounds today, so you probably will. It is worth every second. It is so damn funny for a commercial.
Oh, absolutely. Definitely check that out. And I'm putting the Star-tourage, The Foursome Awakens, in there.
I watched that as well, having never watched an episode of Entourage, and it was very funny.
Yeah, if you are an Entourage fan and you watch this, you will be cracking the hell up because I was in tears. They did such a good job of this parody that I was literally crying. Not figuratively. I'm not saying figuratively. I'm saying literally. I had tears running down my face.
He was literally crying.
Yes. So a little follow up on the self-driving cars. How we said, when you're driving down the road, if you want to just take a stop sign and stick it out the window, every traffic will stop. They have figured out how to do it with a laser pointer as well.
Oh, great.
Yeah, you can trick the LiDAR in these self-driving cars with a laser pointer. And the interesting thing is the guys that we talked about before, the guys who took over the Jeep in the Wired article, have now joined Uber.
Okay.
So Uber, I can't believe Google didn't get these guys.
Actually, what's really funny, I saw right before I came over to record, I was watching a little bit of morning television, and I saw a commercial from Uber trying to attract drivers. And I was just thinking to myself, why would you want to go for work for a company that has patently told you that they want to fire you as soon as possible?
I know. It's on record.
Yeah, they are on record saying, we want to get rid of all human beings under our employ, but right now, we need you, so we're going to run ads asking you to come work for us.
Yep.
And the other thing I was thinking about, is there anything good that is ever done with a laser pointer at this point? Just stopping self-driving cars and blaring out pilots' eyes when they're trying to land at LAX.
Now, here's a funny little story. I watched San Andreas this week. Wow, that was a terrible movie.
Why would you think it wouldn't be?
I like The Rock. So at the end, the daughter saves herself and her friends by using a green laser pointer. So that's the only thing in a faux world where laser pointers actually do good.
Rock couldn't do it himself. Okay, sure. Yeah. So I know you're anti-legislation and I'm not going to get into the whole license plates on drone things again, but maybe we shouldn't just be selling laser pointers for like $10 on Amazon. Just saying.
Well, guess what? You can go anywhere in the world and buy them in a bazaar, and it doesn't matter.
Oh, I know. I actually brought one back from Thailand, believe it or not.
So did we all.
Yeah, so did we
all. So say we all. Yeah, I think we all brought back green and blue lasers from Thailand.
Yeah, I got the green one. It was cool.
Yep. That's the one they used in San Andreas. So when there is a 9.97 earthquake, you can use that to save yourself.
Okay, I'll not watch that movie and not find
out. Oh, my God, please don't. Please do not watch that movie, ever.
Jason, there was no possibility of me watching that movie. I don't care how drunk or bored I am on a plane. I'm not watching that movie.
No, it was so bad.
Yeah. Lefsis makes his return to our podcast here. I actually like this article. Again, you know, he has to spew out one or two a day. Most of them are horrible. Every now and then they're fine. This is called The Rich Get Richer. It's an older one, so we have the link in the show notes so you can actually read it all. It's not, you know, because the new ones are behind his whatever wall. You can't pay for it. I don't understand. Subscription wall? Is that what we would call it?
It's just the paywall.
Yeah, whatever. And it basically just talks about how the crowding out effect of gargantuan movies, how the music industry has gotten squeezed down, and the big promise of their, you know, the internet's going to level the playing field and we're getting rid of the gatekeepers and everybody's going to be able to do whatever they want, and how that's kind of started to happen in movies too. Well, the reality is no, because now, because everybody can do it, there's a lot of shit out there. And the gatekeepers have now basically become the money men that make sure that you actually know about things. There's way too much noise out there. So, you know, the whole promise of the internet basically did not work out for entertainment.
Yeah, I stopped reading it. Line four. Most people are lonely, disconnected. They want to belong, and therefore they partake of what's popular in order to have a basis of conversation. I do not believe that at all. Most people I meet are actually fairly okay. And it's just hyperbole to make a point.
But this is his thing right now. Lefsis gets on his thing and he's locked and loaded on that. And I don't necessarily disagree with him. I agree with you in that the circles that in which we run, we're very engaged people. We're interested. We're out there looking for things. We're trying to find things. But there is the great unshaved masses.
But everybody I meet generally is not like this horrible person that's like, oh, God, life is so terrible. I have to go to Disneyland and find all the goths that are still hanging out there from when you were a kid to go get in that crowd. But most people are generally pretty okay.
Absolutely. None of the goths that hung out at Disneyland were miserable. We were the happiest motherfuckers you'd ever seen. We just looked miserable.
Well, it is the happiest place on earth.
It is. And I can't let go of this stuff, more income inequality stuff. Mother Jones, this is actually an older article. This is from almost 4 years ago, and it hasn't gotten any better since then, which lets you know how bad things are. Overworked America, 12 charts that will make your blood boil. And if you looked at these charts, you do get very, very angry.
Yeah.
I know. But that's the problem with this stuff is now we've hit overload and there's nothing we can do about it, so we stop to care.
Have we actually hit peak grump?
I think we've already passed it because now I'm just tossing this out in kind of a bored way. Like what we did with 1Password. Yeah, nobody's going to fucking listen anyway. Here's another link about it.
Oh, man.
I see. Yeah, it's 4 years old. And I mean, there's just some really, you know, all the things that we've been talking about, the work week, the length of a typical work week, not changing except for the fact that you have to actually look at the fact that, sure, we're leaving the office around the same time, but we're going home and working and adding extra hours there. All of this sort of stuff, just about how we're all getting squeezed and fucked.
Yeah, I mean, it's 4 years old, though. I'd like to see an update.
Yeah, I
do. At least do some more research and get the update, Mother Jones. Come on.
Well, let's write them.
I don't know. Maybe we can write them after hours, and then somebody, some overworked employee, will tell us to go fuck ourselves. So, yes. I wanted to chat for a second here, because this has been an interesting week for me. After last week, you know, I was very sick. I was very stressed out.
Yes.
Antibiotics. Hey, this is me with a thumbs up. You can't see me right now, but I'm giving you a thumbs up through the airwaves. Now, that antibiotics are awesome.
There are ways to get antibiotics that do not involve a doctor, but I'm assuming you listened to me and went to a doctor. Can we play that?
Absolutely not. I did not go to a doctor.
Then how the hell did you get antibiotics?
Because there are ways to get antibiotics without going to a doctor that I won't discuss that much on this show. Right. Let's just say that most of them are based around veterinarians.
Oh, God. You're such an idiot.
The antibiotics that you would get from a doctor will cost you $60. If you go to a vet, you get the same ones from Walmart for $12 that are exactly the same pills.
The Grumpy Old Geeks in no way endorse this sort of behavior.
Absolutely not. Do not do exactly what I just did. Do not do that. But in all my tinfoil hattie survivalist training, I know that the pills that they give your dog are exactly the same ones that work on you.
You are supposed to use this survivalist training in the event of an emergency that The Rock cannot save you from. We are not at that point, so just go to the fucking doctor.
Well, here's the problem. I can't go to the doctor because I don't have insurance, and I can't enroll in insurance because Obamacare won't let me until November. So I had to kind of work around the system. Right. Fortunately, I am getting insurance because my day job loves me and are giving me insurance. So, but that's going to take another 3 weeks to get done. So what I do is I call my friend who's a vet, and we figure things out, and, you know.
Okay.
That's the way it works.
All right.
Anyway, that's not the point that I was trying to make. The point that I was trying to make is I am transitioning out of hardcore tech completely this week. Mm-hmm. And I have been uninstalling dev tools that I've had on my computer for like 10 to 15 years.
Right.
And it actually made me sad a little bit. Wait a minute. I don't need MySQL to start on boot on my laptop anymore.
Oh my God. Leave it on anyways, just because you never know. I mean, you know, you've got the background. You could find yourself needing to do that in a week.
I can't, but then I can just restart it on boot. But right now I'm just trying to save cycles because I'm doing so much audio editing. And I'm just like, wow, that's so bizarre that I don't actually have to have MySQL running all the time. I've had MySQL running on my computers for as long as OS X has been out.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, once they went to the BSD kernel, MySQL has not stopped running on my laptop.
Are you feeling liberated?
Yeah, actually, pretty goddamn liberated. 21 years as a hardcore dev, and now I can finally turn off MySQL. I feel like I'm like, you know, just it's like the end of the movie where you turn off the lights and you close the door.
Yeah.
And then in part two, when everything falls to shit, and then you open the door back up, turn the lights back on, boot up MySQL, and get back to work. Let's hope the sequel is a long time in coming.
Let's hope so.
In the news.
Well, it's that time of the year again. Another big Apple whatever.
Whatever.
I don't know. I didn't watch it. I really didn't follow up too much on it. A lot of people did. A lot of people said it was probably one of the worst Apple demos that have ever been done, and it felt vaguely Microsoftian.
Oh no, Microsoftian. Talk about damning with faint praise.
Hey, you know, people shit on Microsoft. I'm a huge fan. Anyways, but yeah, they've never really kind of had the pizzazz, if you consider a guy wearing a black turtleneck pizzazz. Anyways, so yeah, that all happened. I don't really know too much about it. Apparently, the Apple TV has sold a few people. They're very impressed with it, according to my Facebook feed. And of course, all the photographers out there are jizzing in their pants over the new cameras again. Shocking.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's a 12 megapixel camera in your phone. It's not bad. But yeah. The camera that's in my 6 Plus right now is fucking great. That's why I bought the 6 Plus. So yeah. I'm not going to go buy the 6 Plus S just to get a few more megapixels.
Well, I'll get to that in a second, and I'll tell you why you might want to. But the best thing, the best wrap-up I've read, which is just hilarious, Deadspin did, and we have a link in our show notes, the layman's guide to the new iPhones and Apple's other new crap.
Great. I'll just read the great title.
The first sentence is even better. Earlier today, Apple Inc., a failing novelty watch interest based in California, announced a new range of products. this is very funny. It tells you everything that you need to know. It really does. It gets you the news about everything that they actually are talking about releasing, but it's friggin' hilarious.
Damn, that fucking iPad is huge.
And it's $1,000.
Oh my God. Well, actually, you know what? Here's the funny bit. I paid $1,000 for the iPad I already have. So
I know. That's a little crazy. It's a really good article. But the most interesting thing that's coming out of this, at least for us here in the US and you know, the various carriers that we're stuck with here, because of the way the carriers are all changing their plans and they're basically not going to be subsidizing your iPhones or your phones basically anymore. They're basically going to pass that cost on to you in a variety of ways. You can either just purchase the phones outright at normal price and not pay a monthly fee, or they're going to basically give you a monthly fee that you can keep it, or a different monthly fee if you want to upgrade every year or so. There are people that are running the math on this, and it basically, as long as you don't damage your phone, the cheapest method now out there is to buy a new iPhone every time they're released outright and then sell it in a year and then buy another one. And
that's always been the case, though. Always been the case.
I don't know. I've always had, if I could wait 2 years, I always got a really good deal with Verizon, but all that stuff's gone away now.
So. Yeah, but you haven't been selling your phones because everybody in Asia wants those. At least in the old days, everybody wanted the phones. So they would unlock them. Like, you'd sell it to them, they'd unlock them, and then they'd ship them over to Asia or India. And that was always the best way to go.
All right. Well, it seems like it's something I'm going to start doing. I don't think I'm going to get the 6S because I don't really see much of a point, and my 6 is relatively new. But when the 7 comes out, that's it. I'm going to buy it outright, sell off my 6. And I think I'm going to start following this policy, at least until the finances don't work out.
And you know, the funny part is, my dad told me this, that's exactly the same math that you do with a car. Like, yeah. When I was 19, he taught me that. And he's like, okay, every 2 years, you buy a new car. And then you sell you trade in your old car, then you have a new car, and then you're never having to worry about things like maintenance and stuff like that old cars really kind of go with. And it's like, yeah, you're always going to have a car payment, but at some point you're going to make enough money where you can actually buy the car. And then you don't have a car payment, you own the car, and then just every 2 years you trade it in and you buy the next car.
Yep, so, well, that's about right to me. So I'm going to be doing that. I am due for an upgrade on an iPad because I'm still running the first generation mini, and I've got an iPad 3. So it's definitely time for upgrades on both of those. Apparently the iPad mini 2 is down to $270, which is a damn good price for it. And I don't need the new one that costs $400. So I'm going to go pick up one of those, I think. And,
So you're going to stick with the mini?
I use the mini. The wife likes the iPad. So I think I'm going to get the new mini and I'll get the wife the iPad Air.
That's a good one. I've got an Air 1, like the first iPad Air.
Yeah.
And I love it. I absolutely adore my iPad Air.
Well, let me tell you, if you're thinking about doing the upgrade, I'll buy that one off you.
No, okay. I'm not, because this thing did cost me $1,000. It's got the Verizon cell radio in it, which I use all the time. So
yep.
I'm keeping my Air. It really is not like worth upgrading or doing any changes with. And it is literally the perfect tablet for me. So there's no reason for me to upgrade.
Yeah, I agree. And this is the problem with the product cycles that we're locked into because of the economics of stocks and everything like that, which I can't complain about too much because, again, Apple stock has made me a buttload of money over the years. But
good for you. It cost me a butt.
We're just stuck on this cycle where they have to release things, whether it really deserves it or not.
Well, it's about shareholder value.
Exactly.
And I am a shareholder and I'm not feeling much value right now.
Neither am I, but again, it's not really about us. It's about the other people out there that are going to be buying this crap.
Yes, and you can get a new rose-colored phone and a rose-colored watch. So I'm actually looking forward to the watch update. Mm-hmm. That would be nice to be able to put my own photos on the lock screen on the phone. Or I mean on the watch. But I still like my watch. I know everybody bags on it, but I actually like the goddamn thing.
Hey, you know, you're welcome to enjoy whatever you want, Jason. It's a free country.
Well, I don't have to take my gigantic phone out of my pocket as much. It's great. I know what to ignore. My phone or my watch talks to my phone, and then it tells me what I can ignore, which
you
is great.
Good at ignoring things like go to the doctor.
Oh, that, yeah. Yeah. So antivirus mogul John McAfee is going to run for president under the Cyber Party.
I swear to God, I thought this was an Onion article.
Nope. Motherfucker put his papers in. He's going to run.
I love
it.
Oh, this is just... I'm sorry.
I love John McAfee. I fucking love this guy.
But for tech people like us, this is our version of Trump throwing his hat in the ring. This is going to be awesome.
Oh, absolutely. But here's the thing. I know people who aren't into tech, but just love him. There are people that have no, like my roommate, she has no tech background, but she loves him because he's crazy.
He is crazy. It's going to be great. He's got an Alabama address. He's got to do with the FEC filing, and he's supposed to be doing a statement, I guess, either today. It must be today, so I can't wait for this.
No, absolutely. I love John McAfee, and I cannot wait for this because, honestly, we need something to counteract the Trump in the news cycle.
Is he going to get mainstream press on this? I don't know, though. I don't know if he's going to get mainstream press. It really depends on what his statement is.
Yeah, I've already seen him on CNN, MSNBC, CNBC. I've seen him everywhere.
Mainstream press, you know, like The Daily Show. Things people actually watch.
Well, nobody watches The Daily Show anymore because Jon Stewart's gone.
Oh, that's a good point.
No, he's this guy's gonna he gets a lot of press.
All right.
I'm not really worried about him getting press. What I'm worried about is him winning. And I'm also worried about Trump winning. But
neither of them are going to win.
Hey, we elected Arnold Schwarzenegger to governor of California because we thought it would be funny. OK,
well, we had Reagan before that. Whatever. States are states. There's just no way for president. It can't happen. If it does, whatever. Anyways.
OK, now the Internet of Things.
We
love the Internet of Things.
Not really. That's what we call irony.
That is irony. So there was a Nest outage this week. Did you hear about that?
I did. And, you know, I'm still, I think the Nest is a beautiful product. I think that they've done a very good job with it. I am exceedingly happy that I didn't spend the $400 per unit or whatever the price is at this point for the 3 thermostats I have in my house to have it, because it's not worth it.
You have 3 thermostats in your apartment?
Yeah.
Wow. Crazy. You could probably reach them all. Like if you put one hand on one, you could play like Twister and touch each one.
That was the, you know, instead of doing the Nest and having the app that can get hacked into or shut down as happened, I just used a selfie stick.
Ah, good call. Good call.
Yes.
So the fact that it's news now that you cannot change the temperature with your cell phone says something really about our entire society. This was an Engadget. Yes, there was a Nest outage, and you could not check your drop cam, and you could also not change the temperature in your home without actually walking to the thermostat. Oh, my God. Oh, the humanity.
I know. This is really where we're...
This is what it's fucking coming to, man.
So, I mean, again, we've talked about the Internet of Things a gazillion times, and we've talked about why it's a very, very bad idea and why we shouldn't be doing these sorts of things yet. And I got to tell you, and I don't know if we're ever going to get back to this, because it's not the world that we've decided to live in anymore. If I were to do an Internet of Things, I would not be using somebody's third-party service. I would have my own server in my house that everything ran through. End of story. But this is what happens. This is what you all chose.
Yep. It's about the cloud. Everything must be in the cloud.
Cloud, meaning other people's computers.
Yep. And yes, iOS 9 and Safari, ad blocking is coming big time.
Yep. Advertising online industry is basically done.
I don't know if it's done, but it's definitely people need to start figuring. This is the beginning. This is the pebble in the pond.
It's an arms race now.
Yeah, it really is. So I don't know. I don't know what the fuck they're thinking about building an ad blocking into. I think it's stupid. Putting ad blocking natively in a browser is stupid.
It's completely stupid. It should involve a little bit of effort. It should involve you having to go and install it yourself and understanding how it works. And there should be some sort of. We've built an entire industry where nobody wants to pay for anything. And the only way that anybody ever gets paid at all is ads. And then you're just basically locked and loaded with them turned off.
Awesome. I know it makes no sense. Honestly, yeah. I'm still scratching my head about why they're doing it. I haven't figured that out yet, because it is going to, it boggles the fucking mind.
It does. It doesn't make any sense, especially since, you know, so many people, Apple themselves rely on ad revenue in their apps and things like that. It's just,
I know.
Yeah.
I do not understand what the theory is behind this. So if you are a listener to Grumpy Old Geeks and you have any idea why somebody would actually put this into a browser, which is supposed to just let you render HTML. That's it. That's all it's supposed to do.
That's all it's supposed to do.
It should not stick its dick in the fan. That's what I'm saying.
But, you know, Jason, with the 20 plus years each experience, as well as the, 2 years now of doing the show, we're looking for logic in a tech story.
I guess that's right. So here's something that I thought was actually really fun. This comes from Naked Security. Drunken attack on emotion reading robot leaves it a little brain dead. Did you read this article?
I did. It's very funny.
The first line is the best. Oh, the non-humanity. So this comes from Japan, and this is I put this in the show just to show that Americans are not the only assholes in the world, because a drunken Japanese guy went and he basically beat up a French robot, which, I mean, just right there. It's come on. Yeah. Drunken Japanese man beats up French robot. That should have been the title.
It is French.
So, yes, to be fair, it is French. So, anyway.
Yeah, it was a good story. I liked it. I just, yeah, it's what a world.
I know.
I don't even know what to say anymore.
I know. Okay. Okay. Yes, we kill a Canadian robot and then this Japanese guy beats up a French robot. Things yeah. are just, it, I don't, I honestly, if you had asked me a year and a half ago when we started, 2 years ago when we started this show, would we ever be talking about drunken people beating up robots?
Well, let's not forget the story that they also reference in that article about the dog-like robot who animal groups went up in arms over it because one of the makers of it kicked it over to show how it gets back up by itself. And you can't kick a robot dog. Fuck. I don't understand. I just don't understand.
I know. I know. Things are just getting so weird. Mm-hmm. And it's just going to get weirder.
Yeah,
there's a Vanity Fair article on Facebook and the $2 billion bet on Oculus Rift.
Yeah,
it's interesting. I am definitely torn on Oculus. I want the technology to exist, but on the other hand, I know we're going to screw it up, and we are just going to turn into Wall-E.
How many times have we danced around the VR thing? At least as long as you and I have both been in tech, there's always been a story about something coming. VR is the future. There were VR plugins for browsers so we could start to create VR experiences online. Dead and gone. Nobody gave a crap.
I did a VRML walkthrough of the Starship Enterprise, you know?
Yeah, all that stuff has been here, come and gone. Will there be something that finally gets us to the place where this is all really cool? Yes.
Yeah, I think we're really close to that.
No, I think it'll be Magic Leap, who we talked about last week. When we get the little contact lenses that we can pop in.
Right, but we're close. I think we're close. Within like 2 to 3 years, I think we're going to be pretty close to being there.
Yeah, but it's not virtual reality that I'm excited about. It's augmented reality. I like the idea of looking around and, you know, you're walking down the street and you see like a couple shops on either side and you can, you know, click your, I don't know, do like, and all of a sudden your contact lenses will bring up like specials in each store that they're advertising. That kind of stuff I'm cool about. Full on virtual reality where I'm just wandering around a maze and Pamela Anderson clones are offering sex to me. No thanks.
See, well, here's the thing. I mean, they're completely different beasts, totally different beasts. And I think that there is a place for both. AR, definitely. I'm a fan of AR. I've always wanted augmented reality. And that's what, but the problem is like, you have to have it in something that is non-conspicuous, like the contact lens, because guess what? We had a run at augmented reality recently. Guess what it was called? Google Glass.
Yes.
And then we came up with the term glass holes. And, you know, it's completely different. You have to have very subtle use of augmented reality.
Well, I don't necessarily agree with that. I think it's more the price point and it's the one percenter thing that killed Google Glass. Now, if you make it cheap enough that everybody can have it, it can be a pair of glasses. I don't think that's the issue. The issue that Google Glass and Google didn't really think about was the separation. The separation between people who...
So you're saying they're class holes.
Yeah, I really do think that was the main problem with the Google Glass.
Okay. And Robert Scoble didn't do them any favors doing that picture in the shower.
He doesn't do favors for anyone, let's be honest.
Oh, come on. Robert's a nice guy. He's just a little misguided sometimes. I like Robert. Don't get me wrong there. He's been a friend for years. So, but the Oculus thing that's coming out, it's going to be pricey. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to be very pricey.
Yes.
But what I want is the dev kit for 2.0. That's what I want. Because what I'm, you know, I was thinking about this the other night. I'm like, this could completely change, like, even just the photography industry. Because we're used to looking at pictures in 1D, you know? I mean, if I had, like, an Oculus Nikon that I could go out and shoot, like really cool, like, I could go to Yosemite and start shooting pictures in 3D, and then that would be, like, my art, that'd be my art platform. And that would be, like, kind of a... That would be an iterative leap in something simple, as simple as photography.
Right.
So I'm looking at things like that and trying to figure out what the next jump is, because we're starting to discard all of this old technology. You know, yeah, your phone's going to have a 12 megapixel camera, but when is it going to have a 3D camera? You know,
Yeah.
There's just so much stuff that's changing, and I'm kind of looking forward to it because I'm tired of just being grumpy about stuff. I'm trying to look forward to like the new ways that we're going to use this stuff.
I find that all very exciting as well. And I totally understand where your excitement comes from. My problem and my sticking point is still going to be great. Now I have this other really expensive toy, but I still can't figure out how to make my own living.
Oh, well, you got to figure that out for yourself. Yeah. That's not their problem. That's your problem. You got to figure that out on your own.
Uh-huh. It is a problem. I sort of agree with that, but also, I mean, we talk about things like ad blockers are coming in, so we're ruining that path to revenue. Sure, you might be getting a 3D camera and you might be able to take these great photos that you can then look at in 3D reality with your Oculus Rift, but those photos will be, you know, stolen or put up for free or whatever, and you're not going to make any money off of them. So there you go.
Well, that's why you have to figure out how to get your own revenue out of it.
Yeah, you can't do that yourself because it's an entire system that's built around it that you can't. Anyways,
actually, that system doesn't exist yet, so you can go build that system. Trust me, dude. There are ways to make money on this stuff. Now, let's talk about something a little different. I love this title for this article, The Red Web. In Putin's Russia, Internet watches you, which is actually very true.
Yeah, it is. And it's always been the great irony that that's where Edward Snowden basically went and holed up at.
I know. That's crazy.
And Russia is the worst country in the world for this stuff.
And he's still there and his time is running out.
Yeah.
That's kind of scary.
Yeah.
I was thinking maybe we should Kickstarter, you know, pardonsnowden.com. Not going to happen.
Not going to happen. Yeah. No, you Kickstarter it, the US internet going to watch you too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the irony. In Putin's Russia, internet watches you. Yes. Guess what? In every country, internet watches you. NSA watches you everywhere. So, that was just a run-in because Russia just blocked Pornhub. If you wanna find out what is going to make a population rise up and have a another Red October. Start taking away their porn, dude.
Take away their porn. And that's the irony that most of the girls on there are probably Russian.
Exactly. So I think Putin may have stepped on his Putin with that one. It's not going to be good for them.
Yeah.
Never take away. Never take away somebody's porn ever.
Who knew that would be the path to freedom?
Porn is the path to freedom. That's
there's our title.
An interesting one I saw today, though, was Japan's centenarian population has hit a record of 60,000 people who are over the age of 100 years old.
That is a lot.
That's insane.
Yep.
So I have 56 years to get there. I'm only 44 now, but yep. If I don't go to the doctor, I probably have 5.6, okay,
yeah.
But
yeah, there's that.
But I just thought I just threw this in because I thought it was amazing. You know, they always have those documentaries about how many, you know, Japanese people are living to be over 100. But I had no idea that it was 60,000 people that are over 100 years old.
It is a really interesting thing. And I'd be curious to know if there are studies out there that say why the Japanese life expectancy is so good, because you hear so many contradictory things about their culture. I mean, on the one hand, we know that, you know, they eat very healthy, exercises at a premium. But on the other hand, all you hear are the stories about the like rampant stress and, you know, 90-hour work weeks. And then as soon as they get off work, all they do is go to a bar and drink until they pass out in the street. That can't be healthy.
No, there's a lot of survivorship bias that goes on with those studies. And yeah. I think now is a really good time. I mean, yes, there have been studies on all the centenarians that are out there in Japan. And a lot of it does go back to eating fish, which nowadays is not this, not there's no fish left and they're all filled with mercury
or radiation if you're in Japan.
That too. Yes. You want to get it from the west side of the island, not the east side. Let's just say that. Oh shit, that reminds me. I'm going there. Oh,
yes, you are. Make sure you have one of Bonner's little Geiger counters with you.
Yeah, actually, yeah, no, he gave me some really good advice about Japan the other night. I'll talk about that in the closing, but, yeah, I'm amazed that there are 60,000 people that are over 100 years old. I want to have every one of those people do a podcast and just, or at least tell their stories, because these people were born in 1915.
I know, pretty crazy, right?
Isn't that insane? They've lived through the First World War, the Second World War, the Korean War, everything. I mean, just everything since 1915. It's nuts.
Well, basically, they went from not having power to having an iPad Air.
Security? Ha!
Apple and other tech companies are going against the government right now over the data in your phone.
Everybody except for AT&T.
Of course, because they like to hand everything over to the government. but yes, you know, they've been talking for a while now about how it, like, built-in encryption is going to become a problem for law enforcement, and it has. Yep. Here's what I say. Tough shit.
Yeah.
You know, half of me says tough shit. The other half says, okay, well, if they're bad guys, they're bad guys, but figure out how to get around it. That's your job.
That's true. I mean, there's a certain amount of that. But on the flip side, it's just, it's so cheap now. It's so cheap to you know, basically get around the system. It's so cheap to pick up a phone that can have encryption. And it's a, you know, it's some scary stuff when you think about what you know, some terrorist cell could do now. And there needs to be some sort of way to get through. If there's very specific knowledge, if there are, you know, warrants and judges have signed off on this, I would like to, you know, have certain things be able to get into or be turned over to government agencies.
Can't do it. Can't do it. That's the problem.
I know.
That is the problem. It's one or the other.
I know. It can't be both.
Yep. Because if there is a back door, somebody else will find the back door. So yeah. That's why it needs to be completely encrypted end to end. And that's why we've talked about two dozen times why the entire government's argument is wrong about encryption. It's like, you cannot have a backdoor. It's either encrypted or it's not. That's it.
Yeah, it can't be both.
And I found this one from Boing Boing, which is kind of scary. California legislature wants to mandate radio readable driver's licenses.
Yep.
Readable from about 30 feet away.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Yeah, what could go wrong there?
Not down with that. And again, it's always done with the best intentions, and I can see the thought behind this and why they think it's good. The problem is we don't really know how the government is using our information, what they're doing with it, and we also know that for the low price of about $300 to $400, probably anybody can pick up a piece of equipment that can then do the same thing that the government is doing and then track you and kill you.
$300 to $400. Try about $30 to $40.
Oh, that's true. These are actually just Yeah. Oh,
it's
just
it's an ARFID reader and a couple other things. But here's the thing. I go by a couple different intersections when I'm going down Ventura Boulevard here in the valley, the lovely valley in Van Nuys. There are bicycle cops now who will sit there and wait at the red light looking for people on their cell phones, and they will roll up on them, give them a $250 ticket. How easy would it be for them to just sit there, take a picture of the person in the car talking on their cell phone, and just email them a ticket?
Yeah.
If they can read your license at that point.
Yeah, that's when it starts to spread out and become very problematic.
If you're speeding, there's just an automatic camera that can read your driver's license, because then it knows that it's you in the car. But what if you're a passenger? So who do they know? You know, there's so many problems with this. It's just like, no, there's so many problems. So if you live in California, that we're going to have a list of your legislatures in the show notes that you should call, you know, and say no.
The funny thing about this, though, is, and we talked about the insurance agencies wanting to use the Internet of Things to be able to track you better in the guise of, then you'll pay less if you're a good person and you're doing the right things. We will get mad about the government trying to do this, and I'm going to call, certainly, and tell them that I don't want this sort of legislation. But what we're going to end up doing is basically handing it over anyways to private agencies like insurance companies, and we're all going to get screwed anyways. So we'll block this now, but when State Farm goes, well, we want to put this chip on you so we can tell when you're driving around, and, you know, as long as you stay under the speed limit and you drive safely, we're going to lower your premiums. But if you go over, then we're going to charge you more, and we'll go, okay.
They already do that, dude. They already do that. You can get something. I think it's from Geico that you basically plug into your car. And if you're a good driver, your premiums will go down.
And that's my exact point.
So yeah.
Very mad about the government. But then at the same exact time, we're turning around and handing it over to private agencies.
Yeah, there's absolutely no way I would ever get one of those. And if you get one of those, you're an idiot. Honestly, yeah, sure. You're an idiot. Because if you loan your car to somebody, my car is out with somebody else today. I'm not driving my car, but my car is rambling around Southern California. And, you know, she drives like a maniac. So my premiums would go up.
Yeah. So if you had a drone with a license plate on it, you'd never let her borrow that.
Why are you so stuck on the drone and the license plate thing?
I don't know. It's stuck in my craw, and I've had arguments about it with other people all week. So.
Here's the deal. I can't build a car that is road legal from the hobby store in my living room. I can go build a drone that has no license plate from spare parts from Hobby Lobby, you know, and in no time flat. It's a different beast.
I will send you a kit that lets you build a road legal card. I mean, I'll send you a link to it. I'm not going to buy it for you because it's still like $5,000, but...
Okay. Anyway.
Right. Anyways.
Moving on.
I found an article on Slate in their future tense section that goes a little bit more in depth into a lot of the stuff that we've talked about how the NSA basically exploits or finds and keeps and tracks and does not tell anyone about zero-day vulnerabilities because they want to use it to get more information about us and surveil people. And it's the Electronic Frontier Foundation has basically obtained a bunch more information about this and is going to hopefully fight them because this is some bullshit right here.
Well, that's we've also mentioned that before, because you have Homeland Security, who is trying to actively block O'Day exploits, and you have the NSA, who's trying to find and buy O'Day exploits from everybody else. They're fighting against each other.
Yes, the two sides of government are fighting against each other and doing the exact opposite approaches. So it's good times.
Yeah, ton of fun. So Jacob Applebaum.
Yes.
I've talked about him on the show, I think, a couple times. I used to know him back in the old days, going back to the porn days. He used to work for kink.com. And before that, I knew him as just a hacker, like around San Francisco. We hung out in the same circles. And then he got a job as a WikiLeaks spokesperson. And now his life is basically ruined. But I originally met him because he was a photographer. Mm-hmm. And after his dad was murdered, he went on a vacation to Iraq during the Iraq War.
Wow.
I'm telling you, he's an interesting dude. Yeah. So he's got a new art show coming out where he has taken photos of a lot of the people we talk about on the show. Laura Poitras, William Binney, Ai Weiwei, who I love Ai Weiwei. He's amazing. Glenn Greenwald, Julian Assange. It's a really interesting show, and a lot of the photos are on the link that will be in our show notes. Glenn Greenwald and his man friend, David Miranda. it's really cool. He was always a pretty decent photographer, but I got to say, his shot of Ai Weiwei is amazing.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah, so check that out for sure, and you should follow him on Twitter as well. I will put that in the show notes.
Excellent.
Comment of the week.
Big thanks to Mike Krimmer for his PayPal donation this week. Thank you very, very much.
Woohoo, thank you.
And another thank you to Kyle Roderick for upping his pledge on Patreon, because he's a stand-up guy who also loves cold pizza as much as I do.
Thank you, Kyle. That's awesome. We appreciate it. And I could use some cold pizza. I'm hungry. We got an iTunes 5-star review from Sean Rafferty. A gem in a sea littered with sameness. A little poetic. Came across the show and found myself liking it more every time I hear a different episode. I am not a tech geek, but I thoroughly enjoy the content and the dynamic relationship between the hosts, Jason and Brian. Very educational, entertaining, and unique. We're dynamic, Jason.
We are the dynamic duo.
Oh, Jesus. You're Robin.
Fuck you. Thank you, Sean, very much. Okay, yes. We got another one from Patrick. You want to talk about this one?
Sure. Friend of the show, Patrick, and friend of mine in real life, wrote in about our Mr. Robot talk. He basically pretty much agreed with us about it being kind of eh as a whole, with some social commentary that was kind of interesting. It's very long, so we're not going to read it all. But yeah, the whole Mr. Robot thing was, I think we talked about it at great length. And I think most of the people that I've talked to offline have kind of agreed with our take on it. And I think we're all just going to kind of sit around and see what they're going to do for season two and where they're going to take it. So,
yeah, it I don't know, man. I really don't know.
See, the more that Mr. Robot has sat with me, the less I like it, actually.
That's actually, it's exactly what I was thinking, too. Yeah. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah. So it was, I was intrigued. I was into it. I went all the way through it. Then I was like, I'm not so sure. And now, what, a week and a half later, I'm kind of like, I don't know. I didn't like it that much, I guess.
No, it's just one of those things where it was just like, really, it was a breath of fresh air to have something so Fight Club-y.
Well,
and then it's like, oh, well, it was Fight Club-y because it was Fight Club.
Fight Club. And the other thing that I said, I think still holds true too. I think the reason that it captured so many of us that are of this particular bent is this is one of the first things that's come out that's just been so targeted directly at us. And how can you not be into that? Because, you know, it's, thank God it's not just another stupid, you know, housewives show, and it's not another Taylor Swift album. This is us. This is our people. But then it just wasn't that good.
Yep. Pretty much. We also got a really long note from our friend Gary Inman on our Patreon page. I'm just going to do the questions here because it's a bit long. But if you're a Patreon subscriber, you can go check it out. First question, wasn't Jason going to start giving away his closet full of gadgets he either never used or no longer uses? I think I won the only giveaway. I don't know if you actually get more Patreon subscribers as a result, but I would love to see you guys make your milestones. I'd use words like, the more revenue streams you have, the better, but then you might think I'm listening to Pat Flynn or something. Here's the deal. Yes, you did win the one and only Patreon giveaway, or the only giveaway that we ever did. It ended up costing me more to ship the thing that I sent you than we made that entire month. And this was back when we were just doing PayPal subscribe or PayPal donations. So yeah. Yes, I'm just like, yeah, I've got a bunch of stuff to give away, but unless it includes shipping and handling, it really is a non-starter. So I ended up just giving a bunch of stuff away.
That is the problem with the physical items. One of the things that I think that we're going to do, and Jason and I have talked about it briefly, isn't so much giveaways or anything like that. Unless there are any of you companies out there that would like to donate us stuff to give away, that would be pretty awesome. We're going to finally get on with some of those write-ups. Like I'm back working on the Dune thing, and we'll talk about some of the sci-fi things. And I think we'll post those only on Patreon. I think that's a good way to go. We'll see.
Okay. Now we have another question from him. Why the fuck is the name podcast still used? I'm sure it's an Apple invented name for their iPods, but it's such an unappealing name. I don't hear Netflix casts used anywhere. It's all just fallen under the umbrella of video on demand. Yeah, that's not the best name either, but at least it's obvious to grandma and grandpa what it might be.
I don't think it's that obvious.
Here's the deal. Ben Hammersley from The Guardian is the one that actually came up with the term podcasting way back in 2004, and sadly, it stuck. We have terms like blog. Who came up with blog? I mean, yes, it's a concatenation of web and log and weblog, and then became blog. So yeah, now we have podcast. So
horrible, horrible abortion. The vlog.
Yes, and then we have the vlog. Yeah, there's just, dude.
They're called podcasts. Everybody calls them podcasts. It's a way of differentiating from, say, some sort of other stream. I like calling them podcarts because I think it's funny.
Well, you can go with the Leo Laporte netcasts you love. Fucking idiot. Yeah. Bonus question. You have some opportunity to make some real money doing this podcast. Have you thought about making guest appearances on other podcasts or sort of cross promotion? I don't know crap about how everything really works in that world, but it seems like tons of podcasters interview each other within the same general topics. Just a thought. When I see how much money the Angry Chicken is pulling in from Patreon, it just baffles me. Keep up the good work and do more shows while you're drinking beer. I love it when Brian starts to slur towards the end of the show.
Me too.
Yeah, me too. Quick run on the dynamics of doing cross promotion and podcasting appearances. We have done that. I've been on a ton of other shows. Brian has just not gotten off his ass and gone anywhere, but because he's slurring at the end of the show, but it does not give us any ROI whatsoever.
And that's the main reason I haven't done it. Jason went out and you know, bravely went where no grumpy old geek has gone before. He's done a ton of shows. We really didn't get much of a bump from it. I'm happy to go on other shows and do them. It's just nobody's really approached me, and there's not much of an ROI on it, as Jason said. So
yeah, I just love doing podcasts. That's why I'm in this game right now, and I love going on other people's shows, and I love talking to my friends, because every show that I've gone on is basically a friend's show. And we have gotten a little bit of a bump, but it never sticks because maybe our show just isn't that good. Who the fuck knows? But honestly, we've had people like Tim Ferriss on who has tweeted out to his 500,000 followers and we get a little bit of a bump. But for the most part, every time we have a guest on the show, our numbers go down, not up. So that's why we stopped doing it.
We're not against having guests. It just hasn't really worked out. And you know, as Jason said, it hasn't really helped us. And people just seem to like listening to us fight with each other.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. People just like us bitching at each other.
Yeah. So,
okay, Robin, you want to take us out of this segment?
Dude, you're so Robin. We appreciate all your comments. If you want to get in touch with us, we're at Twitter at twitter.com/GOG podcast. You can write us on Facebook, but honestly, that gets so lost in the UI mess that is Facebook that we'll probably never see it. GrumpyOldGeeks.com, you can talk to us there. Please do go to iTunes, GrumpyOldGeeks.com/iTunes. Give us a 5-star rating and a comment. We do appreciate it. The absolute best thing that you could do is please tell a friend because, you know, nothing else is really working for us and we need more listeners. And of course, our patreon.com/GOG, where you can donate us money and try to enter into giveaways where we won't actually send anything out.
Yes. And Brian needs beer money so he can start slurring more.
I know. It's all water today, guys. Pay up.
At the library.
Well, we've been teasing over success for a while, healing the American obsession with wealth, fame, power, and perfection by Jim Rubens, because it seemed such a good concept and so in line with so many things that we talk about and agree about and rail about our society right now and everything that we're doing. And I do agree with almost everything that he wrote in the book, but I hate this book. It's a horrible read.
Why?
I can't stand his writing. I knew nothing about him going in. Finding out that he was a multi-gazillionaire politician was really frustrating to me because it's kind of like, do as I say, not as I do.
That's exactly where I stopped reading.
Yeah.
That's exactly where I stopped reading. He's like, yeah, I'm a multimillionaire and I was elected to Senate and all this other shit. And I'm just like, oh, and you're going to talk about the problems of success?
Yeah.
Yeah, go die in a fire.
Yeah.
Honestly, go die in a fire.
This is definitely a case of shoot the messenger, not the message. I like the message. I can't stand him. I hate the oversuccess with the capital O and the capital S the entire way through as he's basically trying to brand the term.
TM.
Yes. And I wanted to stop reading basically, I think about 55 pages in or so when he says this. As a non-scientist, I can reach across knowledge gaps without wrecking my grant-getting ability the way professionals would, but I will distinguish fact from speculation so that you can draw your own conclusions. So you're smarter than scientists? Fuck you.
Fuck you.
And don't even try to pretend and your all he did throughout this entire thing is bring up scientist studies and then give his own speculation drawn from next to nothing about it, and that I found annoying. I hated this book.
I know. It is so sad too, because I found him on the Art of Manliness podcast, episode number 128, The Perils of Oversuccess with Jim Rubens, and I thought he came off pretty well, and right. That's what really got me into wanting to read this book. But honestly, as soon as I found out his background, that was he's a politician and a non-scientist.
Yeah,
I just put it down. Honestly, yeah. I put it down.
It's written as if it, you know, this was a scientific study and there were real insights into it. And all it felt like a college paper where you just cut and paste from different studies and then you write a sentence at the end of every cut and paste about what you think about it. And I can't stand that. I can't stand books that do that. There was no, so frustrated.
Yeah, it sucks. I really wanted this book to be good. Maybe we should just, hey, let's crowdfund our version of this book.
Grumpy Old Geeks Over Success. Stop fucking working so hard, you idiots.
Oh, wait, we haven't actually had success yet, so we can't actually do it.
No, but that's our exact point. Because he did all these things, and now he's telling us that we shouldn't. Well, we've never done it.
Yeah, as he's bathing in his pool of money.
Well, so many anecdotes about how he's living he's doing all these wonderful things, but sitting there wondering, isn't there something more?
I know. Honestly, I know this is just, it's wrong for me to think this way because I deal with people like this every day. But this guy just really did not come across in the book as somebody who is likable.
No, he comes off as generally unlikable, and that's why I had a problem reading it, because so much of it, outside of the cutting and pasting, once it's in his own voice, I don't like him.
Yeah, if you don't like him, then it's really hard to read the book. So this would be a Grumpy Old Geeks pass.
Yeah, this is definitely a pass, and in fact, I can tell you what you should read instead, and it's free, and it gets the point across so much better and so quickly. And we've been holding onto this article for a while because I thought that we'd be talking in great detail about Over Success, and this would be the denouement, as it were, of that discussion.
Would that be denouement?
Denouement? I don't do French.
fucking German.
The overview is on Business Insider. It's titled, It's Not Worth It. Ad Exec's Brutal Rant Before He Died of Cancer is Absolutely Chilling. There is a link to the actual blog he wrote himself. This is by Linz Redding. He's a New Zealand-based art director who worked at BBDO, Saatchi & Saatchi. All names that are very familiar to any of us that have worked in this field for a long time.
Yeah, and this is an old article. It came out in 2012. Article.
Yes. He kept a blog. And after his death, an essay he wrote about the ad business, A Short Lesson in Perspective, was published, and it is worth the read. And this tells you, basically, he just rails going, what the hell was I doing with my life?
Yeah, and, after working in the ad business, it's insane because I really, connected with this. This is why I left working in the ad business.
So there's a couple little lines here that, this has come as quite a shock, I can tell you. I think I've come to the conclusion that the whole thing was a bit of a con, a sham, an elaborate hoax. Countless late nights and weekends, holidays, birthdays, school recitals, anniversary dinners, willingly sacrificed at the altar of some intangible but infinitely worthy higher cause. This is a great read, and I love the end. So was it worth it? Well, of course not. It turns out it was just advertising. There was no higher calling.
Yeah, no, it's insane. It is one of the worst businesses you could possibly work in. Yep. And I probably have just lost my last advertising client right now. But yeah, dude.
That single blog entry is 1,000 times better than the entire Over Success book, which is 10,000 times longer. So yeah. Just that, if you want to get the point, and go live your life and do something fun.
Yeah, honestly. And it's funny because, just talking about the ad agency business and all that stuff. I did a job for an agency about 6 months ago, and I felt so bad about the client that we had that I gave all of the money that I earned on that job away. I could not actually spend that money because I felt so terrible about who the client was.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been, and I'm very thankful for this. I've always been very lucky that, even in lean times, I'm getting by okay. I have said no to jobs that would have made me a lot of money just because I knew I couldn't do it. I just couldn't stomach it. So,
yeah, I rationalized it when it was happening by saying somebody else is going to take the money if I don't.
That's true.
But and it is true. Somebody was going to get that money, and I'm like, well, I'll take the money. And then I honestly gave it all away. Yeah. I'm like, I cannot spend this money because you are such a detestable organization that I will not spend the money that you give me.
Well, look at you.
Somebody actually profited very well off of it. So it's very good. And I got to charge time and a half.
Yeah.
So let's get back to some more fun stuff. I read Old Man's War by John Scalzi.
All right.
Amazing book. Amazing. It is hard sci-fi.
I love
it. I swear when I started reading this book, I did not know much about John Scalzi. I had read Lock-In, the near future novel that he'd recently written, which I thought was great. But I didn't know much about him. He's only 46, so he's a contemporary of ours. Mm-hmm. This could have been written in the 50s.
Right.
And I love sci-fi like that. Yeah. There's good science in it. There's good just everything about it. Power dynamics, the way that things work. I seriously loved this book. And I'm super excited because I can't believe I said super excited. I feel like a Valley girl. There's 6 books in this series, so I have 5 to go. I'm nice. Really looking forward to this.
Very cool. I've had Lock-In actually in my list to read for a long time because I've had recommendations from numerous people about that book. I have not read any Scalzi yet, so if I wouldn't have wasted so much time on Over Success this week.
sorry about that, dude.
I'm still working my way through the X series by Peter Kleins, which I'll be through Excommunication by next week's show. Scalzi's definitely going to be up to bat after that. So,
oh yeah, totally. And yeah, and you got to get through the X series. Those are all really good.
Oh yeah, no, I'm super happy about that. In fact, I think that was part of the reason I was cranky about having to read over Success, is I didn't want to be reading it. I wanted to be reading Excommunication.
So. I know. Or get on to Terry Pratchett, or get on to Chris Moore, or anything that's not the steaming pile of shit.
I have a plethora of books that I want to be reading right now, so I'm glad that we've cleared out over Success and I don't have to bother finishing that pile.
Yeah, delete with extreme prejudice.
Exactly. I read all my books, well, 99% of books now through the Kindle app on my iPad. You listen to your books, but
no, not all of them.
Not all of them. It's very rare for me to actually get hardcover books anymore. When I do get them, I like the sensation, but it's kind of like an antiquated thing. It's kind of like sitting around a fireplace instead of just using your central air. It feels good, but it's not my day-to-day existence anymore. Unfortunately, according to Lefsetz, he makes a second appearance this time. He talks about ebook sales and how they're tanking because of the new Amazon contracts that allow publishers to set their pricing. And now people are... ebooks never really caught on, but you know, books in general just don't really catch on. But he's saying that the model is definitely in trouble right now and that ebook sales are plummeting, which is not good.
No, it's not good. I actually am partly to blame, I think, for this, because I used to buy ebooks all the damn time. And now, since I have a job where people send me books every day, I go out my front door and I have books in front of me every day. I have a stack waist high of books that I have to read that are hardcover and galleys, and the rest of them come through NetGalley.
Yeah.
I read a lot of books, and none of them are audiobooks that I have to do for my day job. So that's why I was saying it's half and half now. For fun, I listen to books, but I read books. But I can see how this happens, because when I go to Amazon, if that book costs is just as much as a hardcover, I'm going to buy the hardcover, because then I can give it to somebody when I'm done.
Makes no sense. I'm not going to buy an ebook that costs the same as a hardcover, because that's just, I mean, just if you even think about the straight up economics of it, that's ridiculous. There's no shipping costs. There's no printing. You didn't have to cut down any trees. Give me a fucking break. It has to be cheaper. So these publishers that are trying to up the prices and make them on keel with a hardcover on release, screw you.
That's bullshit. Yeah.
You're hurting yourself there, because I'm not going to do it either. But on the same track, I hate the subscription model for books. That's bullshit too.
What do you mean the subscription model for books?
Well, so many people, Amazon tried to push one. There was those companies that we talked about ages ago.
Oh, Oyster and those guys?
All that, screw that too. I'm not paying $9.99 for all you can eat books when you can't even get all the publishers on board. Half the authors I like aren't in there. The books come later. The subscription model is not the way to go for readers. It just isn't.
No.
So keep the prices reasonable and we'll buy them.
Yeah, because I like supporting my authors. Honestly, I would rather walk to their house, give them $20 and say, give me the book instead of giving it to a goddamn publisher. You know, it's like, that's why I kind of like the self-publishing model on Amazon, because the money goes straight to the author.
I like that too. It's just, we get into that same problem that we have with self-publishing and music, which is there's no gatekeeper and it's hard to tell what's good and what isn't.
Yeah, that's kind of a problem. So it worked out pretty well for Hugh Howey.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, he's an outlier.
He's definitely an outlier. He's
a really, really good writer that just never got a publishing deal and did it himself. So, but those were all great. And speaking of outliers, I'm an outlier, and listen up, publishing companies. I will always buy the ebook first and I will read it. And guess what? If it's an author I really love and a book I really love, not only did I buy the ebook, I will then go out and get the hardcover and add it to my personal collection. So you're making double sales. Just keep the prices low on the ebooks.
Yeah, honestly, same here. I do exactly the same thing. I've bought twice as much. And I would originally buy the ebook and then start to read it and realize I didn't have enough time. So then I'd go buy the Audible version. And I multiply buy these things. So just keep them cheap.
Yeah. Yeah, just keep it cheap. And you can have the old music model where, you know, we bought the CD, then we bought the CD single, and then we also got it on this, and then we got it on that, and then we got it on iTunes.
And then we went back and were hipsters and bought it on vinyl.
Well, I don't have a beard. I don't do that sort of thing.
Software, apps, and gadgets.
I've gone back to a new app that is actually an old app. It's called Mailplane.
I remember you talking about this.
Yeah, it's kind of a wrapper for multiple tabbed versions of Gmail.
Okay.
Because I also went to a new app called Boomerang. And Boomerang lets you send email back to yourself if somebody hasn't replied or anything like that in X amount of days, or just remind me about this in X amount of days. Okay. Because in my job now, I'm talking to a lot of people and I need to get reminded about things.
Right.
And Boomerang is awesome, completely worth the money. Mailplane is so fast now. It used to suck. That's why I quit. Mm-hmm. And it was a RAM hog. Now it is amazingly fast, lightning fast, $29. And if you use multiple Gmail accounts, it is the best in the business. Got us hands down. And so check out Mailplane and Boomerang. We'll have links in the show notes, but I am loving both of those. And then also I don't have to use Mail App anymore, which is the biggest piece of shit that Apple has ever crapped out next to iTunes.
Yeah. After iTunes.
Yeah. iTunes is definitely the biggest turd of the bunch, but you know, what's not a turd though. My Herman Miller Mira 2 chair.
Oh, so you did listen to me.
This thing cost so much money.
It's a very expensive chair, but you sit your ass on it an awful lot, and it is comfortable as all hell. This is the best chair I have ever owned, and I'm glad that you agree.
It was really hard for me to buy this thing because it was a lot. I'm going to be paying this off for months because yeah. I put it on my Amex, and I just got to pay it off. But here's the thing. I do sit anywhere from 8 to 14 hours a day. And yeah. the $80 10-year-old chair from Staples that I had was making me hunch over, cramp my guts up. This thing is so adjustable, so nice. Just the mesh seat alone, where I can put a fan underneath and keep my butt cool. That is great.
Way too much information about how you're using your chair, but I'm glad that you like it. So I've had really two great recommendations in a row, the headphones and the chair.
And I talked to a couple people who also bought the headphones from the show. One would be Sean Bonner and the other would be MXV. And they both agree the headphones are amazing.
Yep. And so it's this chair. So if you're in the market for a chair, if you're using anything from Office Depot, throw it in the trash immediately.
Immediately. Get rid of it.
Even if you've got an old Herman Miller, what are the Aeron, which is what I had before. I gave that to my parents. This is a step up in comfort and technology. And also, like, if you're doing any sort of audio whatsoever, you can slide around on this thing. It makes zero noise.
Well, I'm on the carpet, so that doesn't really help. But yeah, it is an amazing chair. It is very versatile. And I do have, I'm going to do this right now. Click. Slide. I slid my armrest down because when I'm doing editing, I don't want the armrest up, but you can just pull them right back up. Lumbar support's great. Everything about this chair that's adjustable, I completely love everything. So yeah,
it's a great chair. So if you want to buy it, please do use the link in our show notes so we can get some beer money off of it.
You can get some beer money. I ain't getting shit.
I'll split it with you if other people buy it.
Okay. Calby Mundy, friend of the show, wrote in and gave us circuitscribe.com. which I'd never seen before, but is so cool. It's basically a pen where you can write circuits.
Yeah, very cool.
Is this thing that cool?
I hope friends of the show like Tara at GitHub has seen this, because this is right up her alley.
I know. This is an amazing little thing. I mean, granted, I kind of wanted to get into the hardware hacking side of things.
Yeah.
And I got the Arduino kit and all that stuff. It's sitting in the closet. I'm not going to do hardware hacking. I'm not going to do software hacking. I am not hacking anymore.
No longer hacking. You're only podcarding.
I am. Podcarding?
I just like that term.
Okay. But definitely, if you're into this kind of stuff, check it out, because it is super neat.
It is really cool. This is actually the kind of thing that would get me into maybe messing around with it, but I know I won't. So
yeah, same here. I found another cool article from Ars Technica. Canon unveils a 250 megapixel prototype. Oh my God. 19,580 by 12,600 is the resolution on this thing.
All right.
Talk about crazy.
Yeah. The government's going to mount some of these to some planes that fly overhead.
iPhone 7. I'm just saying iPhone 7.
I'm thinking maybe probably not. A bit too new, but that is stunning.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I also wanted to do a little follow-up on the Logitech MX Master wireless mouse.
The Darth Vader one?
Yeah, the Darth Vader one. I've not used it once. I tried like for like 10 minutes. Honestly, the Apple, just the simple basic Magic Mouse, is the best mouse for doing audio editing that I've ever had.
Yeah.
And why should I upgrade? So CGP Grey, go suck it.
You know, it's incredibly specialized, and I can see if you put in the time to really get used to it, just like in the old days using a Pro Tools keyboard over a regular keyboard, I could see how you could get up to speed on it. But you're so ingrained with Apple, and you can do everything that you can do just using gestures and things like that.
The gestures are what makes this mouse so special. And so why would I use a mechanical scroll wheel that I can't change the direction on? That's the problem.
See,
if I could change the direction on it, it would be different. But I have to learn something new to scroll sideways. I'm like, why would I do that?
Yeah, that's a big flaw with their design. I don't understand why they didn't take that into account.
Yeah, I'm just annoyed I threw the packaging away. I can't return it. So maybe that'll be in our next giveaway.
Put that on our Patreon giveaway. You just have to give us enough to cover the shipping and handling, too.
Media Candy.
Now, I'm on the fence about this one, but Trainspotting 2 has been announced as Danny Boyle's next project.
Have you read the book that is the follow-up?
No. Did you?
Yes.
Any good?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay. Phew.
Yeah. The book was good, but I'm still with you on being on the fence about seeing this movie with the actors. I'm assuming he's going to be using mostly the same cast.
Same cast, original cast.
Yeah, I don't know.
I love the dude. Trainspotting is in my top 10 movies of all time. So
I love the original, and the soundtrack is one of my favorite soundtracks of all time. Healthy skepticism going into this. We'll see.
Yeah, that's kind of it. You know.
It's kind of a, you know, we were all waiting for Dumber and Dumberer, and it sucked.
Oh, so. I was not waiting for that because I never watched the original, so.
What?
Dude. I never watched Dumb and Dumber.
It is fucking hilarious.
I never saw, was it Anchorman or any of that crap? I don't watch dumb movies like that.
Oh, man, you're missing out.
I also don't watch sitcoms. I've never seen a full episode of Friends.
Well, you're not missing much there.
Okay, good.
There's sitcoms. You're missing out on a big part of life here, Jason.
No, I'm actually going out and having a life, or trying to.
Okay.
Well, back then I was, at least now maybe not so much. The only sitcom I watched soup to nuts all the way through was Newsroom, because I thought that was genius.
It's not a sitcom. That was a drama.
Newsroom?
A dramedy. I wouldn't call it a sitcom.
With
like Modern Family.
Hang on. Let's see if we're talking about the same show here.
Talking about the...
Oh, yeah. No. Not the HBO one. Fuck, what's it called? Hang on, I'm going to stop this for a second.
Okay,
not Newsroom. I was talking about News Radio.
Oh, slightly different.
Yes. Completely different. This is the sitcom that ran from 95 to 99.
And that was a very good one. And yes, that is a sitcom.
Yes, it had Dave Foley and Stephen Root, two of my favorite people. So
that's pretty good. You're missing out on a lot of things here, Jason. I'm just saying. You're missing out on some chuckles, some guffaws, some general happiness.
Chuckles and guffaws.
Yeah, chuckles and guffaws.
You know what does not have any chuckles and guffaws? Black Mirror.
Oh, Black Mirror. Okay.
Black Mirror does not have any chuckles and guffaws, but Netflix has all the rights, and they are said to be producing some new episodes.
Oh, that'll be interesting.
I can't wait. The original guy who created Black Mirror is the one that's penning the script, so we'll see how this goes.
Right. All right. Well, I will watch if there are new ones. I will definitely watch.
Did you ever get around to watching the Christmas special with the guy from Mad Men?
Jon Hamm? No, I haven't seen that. I've actually only watched 3 Black Mirror episodes so far. I keep forgetting to get back to it.
Oh, my God, dude. You have to get back to that. And you have to watch the Jon Hamm episode. That was one of the craziest things. It's not as good as the pig fucking, but it's good.
Yeah, I will sign up with a Boomerang Gmail and send myself reminders to go back and watch all that stuff.
See, you're getting the hang of this.
See, I'm starting to get it. And then I'll have a watch and it'll ding and tell me to go watch the TV show. Right?
Dick.
Stephen Colbert's Late Show debuted the other night. So he went
to very mediocre reviews.
Well, I mean, he went from what was, you know, the kind of the future of late night TV to the past of late night TV. If you really want to, you can watch the first Late Show monologue. It's a link in the show notes from Salon. It's reasonably funny, and it is a show that I will never watch.
I have it taped. I haven't watched it yet because I just haven't had any time, but I will definitely check it out.
I'm just so painfully, massively uninterested in the late night format. I just don't care.
I mean, and I loved Craig Ferguson. I mean, don't get me wrong. I loved Craig Ferguson. Even that got me like bored.
Yeah, I'm not interested in the format. I want John Oliver. I want more in depth. I want, you know, I don't give a shit about celebrity de jure, Kardashian showing up. I could care less. I want insightful commentary and jokes.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm done. I'm not going to be watching it. So.
I stopped watching The Daily Show and I stopped watching Colbert Report, you know.
See, that's the thing. Even those have started to feel old and dated since John Oliver came along. And now you're going back to like, you know, this is your grandparents' late show.
Kind of. Yeah. I mean, the best thing about John Oliver is that everybody will tell me when there's a great bit on Twitter and then I'll just go watch that bit. I don't have to watch the whole show.
Right. So. I watched the whole show, though. That's great.
Okay. That way. I do want to do a quick shout out to Narcos, the new Netflix series.
This, as far as I can tell, has the best PR campaign ever in the entire world, because I cannot turn around without somebody talking about or see a billboard for Narcos.
And it was the fastest turnaround for a renewal for Netflix. They did it within the week, the first week that it aired. Amazing.
Okay.
It is amazing. The season finale left a little bit to be desired.
I guess they just dropped everything, right? All the episodes.
Oh yeah. Well, of course it's Netflix. You got to binge.
Oh, okay.
We watched it. We watched it in about a week. But man, it was really good. It is not anywhere near what actually happened.
Of course not.
If you want to learn more about, you know, Pablo Escobar, there are 1,000 documentaries out there that will tell you about it. But the show itself, completely fictionalized in so many ways. But yeah, it's still fantastic.
All right.
I have no complaints about the show, except, like I said, the last episode, the last 5 minutes, kind of left a lot to be desired. But the rest of the show, solid all the way through. And the guy that they had playing Pablo Escobar is one of the best actors I have ever seen. This guy can speak with his eyes better than anybody else. He looks at you and you get chills because you're just like, oh shit, I'm dead. It's so good.
All right, I'll have to check it out. And actually, I just realized I wanted to just give a second shout out too. I have continued to watch Blunt Talk, the Patrick Stewart vehicle. It is goddamn funny. It is really funny. It is definitely worth the time. I think you would really enjoy it too, Jason. He is hitting it out of the park.
Patrick. Awesome. I can't. Yeah. Dude, Patrick Stewart, come on, make it so
and stick with the show. And if you haven't watched it yet, go check it out. Yeah. You will like it. And I fucking love science news, and I really do, and it's from them, so it's appropriate. A new species of human has been discovered in South Africa. This is basically cool as crap. It's basically, we're remodeling the entire humanity's family tree. It's called Homo naledi, I guess, and it was discovered at the University of Witwatersrand.
Okay.
With National Geographic. Apparently tall, thin, smaller heads. This is all super interesting. Do check out the link in the show notes. I love this sort of stuff. I can't get enough of it. We know nothing, Jon Snow, about our history or about this planet, and discovering that there's an entire another offshoot of humanity that existed for quite a long time. It looks like there are quite a few of them, is just cool as shit.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. The problem is we decompose and we don't really leave a lot of, you know, fossils. Yeah. So like finding these are great.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. And some of the photos of it are absolutely stunning. And there's some, obviously, artwork and reconstruction work have been done. So very, very cool stuff.
Okay. And Jesus Christ. I pressed the wrong button and it just blew out my headphones. Anthony Bourdain melts a meteorite to make a beautiful blade. This is on Nerdist. And I think I found this through Boing Boing. It's right. just check it out. It's cool. It's really, the blade is beautiful when he's done with it. Check it out.
I'm always a fan of Bourdain too. He's always a very interesting guy. So,
and the funny thing is they're talking about like, oh, it's a meteorite, you know, it's millions of years old. It's like, well, guess what? Our planet came from the same shit. So yes, it's like,
so everything around us is,
we are made of star stuff.
Yes. Everything around us, except for San Francisco. That's all brand new.
Or the Kardashians.
The Kardashians, who are made of plastic. Yeah. Anyways.
Continue.
Another article I came across, which I like, and, you know, we try not to get too political or religious on this program, but I'm not religious at all. Scientist Jeremy England has come up with a theory that could prove there is no need for God to make life. It's rather interesting. It basically boils down to you just have a clump of atoms, and if you shine light on it long enough, life will emerge. It goes into far greater detail on Richard Dawkins' website, so you can read in this if you'd like to. It's pretty interesting. I read the longer thing, and I liked it all, and it makes a lot of sense. And, you know, there you go. Sorry, God.
Okay, I'll check it out. Problem with Richard Dawkins, he's just a dick.
I know, he is kind of a dick. The problem with atheism in general is we don't really have a very good ambassador. Bill Maher's kind of a dick. Dawkins is a kind of a dick.
We lost Chris Hitchens, who was the biggest dick, but an awesome dick.
But he was an awesome dick, and a dick anyone could respect. Mm-hmm. A respectable dick. There's no good show title, except we already have one.
Oh, God, yeah. So, we'll see. There was another thing that we covered a long time ago that had the theory that we are basically helping entropy, that life is there to help entropy. Remember that one?
I do, and I still love that theory. I think it's really interesting.
It actually keeps me up at night thinking about that theory. It has hurt my brain thinking about that theory.
For fuck's sake, watch a funny movie, Jason. I found something actually interesting on Twitter for once.
What?
No, it's something I actually like. There's an article in Recode on it. Link is in our show notes. But basically just follow @ThinkPeaceBot. It's designed by Nora Reed and uses a free online tool to tweet out fake sensational headlines for think pieces like you might find from Salon, which I love, The Atlantic, The Guardian, etc. Basically all the bullshit, stupid headlines that we always make fun of. ThinkPeaceBot basically just tweets out constant hilarious fake headlines, which probably could be real. You know, one of them being, you know, how Twitter bots and millennials are secretly ruining your sex life, or are millennials getting high on cat videos? It's very funny.
Okay. It seems like we could just like have a Betteridge's Law of headline bot and just kind of go with that.
We could make that, except we're lazy.
And I don't code anymore.
Exactly.
I would like to have a shout out to our friend of the show, Jordan Cooper of The Morning Dump.
Hey, Jordan.
He got married.
Oh, how is Miss Pooper?
Miss Pooper is probably doing well, but it's good for us because he's now back on the podcast bandwagon because he took like almost a month off.
I was going to say, I haven't seen him out and about, especially as we tend to tweet each other when there's some soccer tournaments going on. And I haven't seen him recently, even though we've had the UEFA Cup and all that. So. Congratulations on getting married, and looking forward to talking about soccer.
Yeah. He got married and he got a new apartment, so he's been moving and all that stuff. So I'm very happy for him and I'm glad he's back. And very big congrats on your nuptials.
Yes, congratulations. I want to give a shout out to Jeopardy, Alex Trebek and Johnny Gilbert. I went to a taping, actually saw three shows taped on Tuesday. It was a fantastic experience if you've never done it before. And if you're a huge fan of Jeopardy, I highly recommend you go check out tapings. It's pretty cool to see that machine in motion. Alex Trebek is a great, grumpy, cranky bastard these days. And he's, you know, in between shots and everything. He talks to the audience. He's a very, very funny man.
Oh, that's very cool. I didn't know you did that.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was a great day on Tuesday. A lot of fun. I would totally go back. Like normally, I've gone to tapings before for things like, especially when I was doing a lot of work with bands and every time they'd play the Leno show or whatever, I'd go and I was just like, okay, I've done this once. Who cares? The only caveat to that rule would be the Jimmy Kimmel show because they have a open bar in the green room.
Nice.
But I've done a bunch of TV shows and tapings, and there's not any I'd go back to except for Jeopardy. I would totally go back and do that again. It was a lot of fun.
Very cool. I've never been to a TV show taping. I've been on movie sets. Yeah. You can actually see me in Spider-Man. I'm in the crowd scene at the wrestling match on Spider-Man, and I would never do that again. That was the longest day of my life.
Yeah, I was only on one movie shoot. It was for that Juliette Lewis 2000 virtual reality thing. I can't even remember what the damn movie was called, where they were taking the drugs.
You were on there for that one?
Well, they did a big rave downtown that Aphex Twin played at. They filmed for like the party sequence, and I was there, and I think you can see me in one shot.
No way. I love that movie.
Well, I'm in it.
Oh, it was actually called, let's look it up here. It was, oh my God, that was so long ago, but it was a James Cameron movie.
Yes. Yes.
And it was called, we're going to figure that out at some point. No idea what it was called. Jesus. Well, I've seen that movie so many times and I can't even remember the damn name of it.
Put in a few seconds of the Jeopardy theme, cut, and then say the name of the damn movie.
It's called Strange Days.
There we go. Strange Days. Yes. I was in that.
That's awesome. I love that movie. And if you've never seen Strange Days, go check it out. It's actually what's going to happen when we get Oculus Rift and brain downloading.
Yes. Yes, it is.
I also want to give a shout out. This is a cross promotion. Blue Apron.
Yes.
So on my day job, The Art of Charm, we are Blue Apron sponsors our show. So I'm like, well, I'm going to go check them out. And because our host and his girlfriend just raved about it. I got my first package on Wednesday. I am a huge fan of Blue Apron now.
Okay.
I've made two of the meals. They both came out better than restaurant quality.
I've done Blue Apron in the past, and I have to say that the quality is fantastic, and the instructions are great. It's very easy to make things, and it's all really, really good. I did not have a bad meal from the two times I tried it.
Yeah, no, I've got a subscription now. I'm getting three meals a week. Honestly, the quality of the ingredients is better than whole paycheck. You know, I pulled the stuff out, and I'm looking at it. And I'm like, oh my God, these are beautiful. Like the vegetables are beautiful. The meats and fishes were beautiful. So this is the cross promotion part. If you want to get your first two meals free, go to blueapron.com and use the coupon code CHARM, and we'll give you your first two meals free. I highly recommend it. I've been posting pictures to Instagram and Twitter about the food that I've been making. It is delicious.
Yeah, it's good stuff. So I would say try it out if you haven't tried it. I have one more shout out. A friend of mine and friend of the show has a product that they've developed over in merry old England called the Wolf Pack. It's a new kind of backpack that has this sling around feature. So it looks like it'd be super useful, especially if you're like stuck in the tube or traveling. Take a look at it. There's a sale right now in the States through Touch of Modern, which we've talked about before as well. I watched the video on this. It looks like a pretty cool concept. I'm actually thinking about picking one of these up before I head off to Europe. So we'll see.
Awesome. I'll definitely take a peek. Thanks for listening. I'm Jason DeFilippo, and you can check me out at jpd.me.
And I'm Brian Schillmeister, and you can follow me on Twitter at SlenderFungus.
Until next time. Grumpy Old Geeks is a fan-supported show. Check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/GOG. We really appreciate your support. If you don't want to or can't donate but want to support the show, please go to grumpyoldgeeks.com/iTunes and leave us a few words and 5 stars, or better yet, tell a friend about the show. Intro music for the show is provided by the band Among Us. You can find them on iTunes, Spotify, and other venues where music is available for streaming that is ruining the economy. Or you can just donate through the Grumpy Old Geeks Patreon page at patreon.com/GOG and get 10 exclusive tracks. Outro music for the show is provided by Andy Stochansky. You can follow Andy at twitter.com/houseofandy, and he's also on SoundCloud at grumpyoldgeeks.com/andy. Show notes for all the links discussed in this episode can be found at grumpyoldgeeks.com/127.
This is Grumpy Old Geeks.